Romans chapter 6. We're going to read verses 14 through 23 in Romans chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at a new master and a new service, thank God. So that's the title. A new master and a new service, thank God. So Romans 6, verses 14 through 23, the Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the few minutes we have here to look at your word. Would you use its truth in the lives of those that are here for your glory, Father? We ask this through Christ and by the Spirit. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, so here we don't have time to get into detail in this whole passage. We're going to be focusing mainly on the verses 17 and 18 here. But first, we see here in verses 15 and 16, we have an introduction. Paul asks the question, should we sin because we're under grace? And he says, no, God forbid, obedience reveals your master. That's verse 15 and 16. In verses 17 through 19, we're going to be seeing the change of masters. We're going to see the reason for the change. People obeyed the gospel, verse 17. The result of the change, they're freed from sin and enslaved to God. And the response to that, to present your members to righteousness. That's 17 through 19 summarized. Then we're going to, in verses 20 through 23, Paul explains the slavery's contrasted. In verses 20 and 21, we see the servants are slaves of sin. We see for their status, they're free from righteousness. We see their fruit, which is shame, and the ultimate end of that service, which is death. And then we see the servants are slaves of God in verse 22. Their status is to be free from sin. The fruit of that is sanctification in verse 22. And then we have a summary in verse 23. So going back to verses 14 and 15 here, we have the question in verse 15. Paul says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." So he says, God forbid. It's not going to happen. And when you look at all the God forbid texts, he is negating a question where it's something that is certain not to happen. For example, is God unrighteous? Certainly not. So here, his question is, will genuine believers, because they're not under the law but under grace, will they continue in sin? And he answers that question, no, that is certain not to happen. And you can see that in verse 14 as well. Why is that certain? Because sin will not have dominion over you. You're no longer under sin's lordship, but now you're a slave to sin, but now you are under grace. You're under the control of God, and he's in charge of you. Now, we see in the next verse, in verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." So we see here that obedience reveals our master. So he commands believers to yield themselves as servants or slaves to sin, or that they were before their conversion. "To whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are." So before a person is born again, he's enslaved to sin. Sin is his master. And he is characteristically obeying sin. It says, to whom ye obey. So when you're an unsaved person, you are characteristically obeying sin. And the result of that is spiritual death. So it says, sin unto death. So when people are enslaved to sin, what they're going to get is death. They're going to get physical death. They're going to get spiritual death. They're going to get the second death in the lake of fire. So we can see from verse 15 that sin doesn't bring happiness and pleasure, like the world says over and over again, but death. And I think that if a person is unsaved and he's thinking, boy, my sin is bringing me death, that would help him to see his need, wouldn't it? His need for Christ, his need for the righteousness of Christ. And if believers see that their sin also is, if God were to leave them to it, which he won't, would bring death, that would also help us not to sin. It's like you think about the strange woman, for example, in Proverbs 7, the Bible, she seems very appealing. But then when you think about that her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death, not so appealing anymore. So let's think of sin as something that brings death in verse 16. But then we see in verses 17 through 19, we see a change of masters for which we can thank God. So notice in verse 17, it says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So we see here at the beginning of the verse, there's a but. There's two buts in the verse. And we see from those that believers are no longer on sin, death, and Satan's side. And this is something to be very thankful for. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. So God be thanked, he says. We need to be thankful if we're believers that God has delivered us from the power of sin and we're now underneath the control of Jesus Christ. The word thanked is a Greek word that's often translated grace. Now it's a reminder that God's grace makes the change possible. Thanked is a perfectly good translation, but Paul here is also reminding us that this change from being under the control of sin and being slaves to sin to being under the control of Christ and being Christ's servant or slave is possible only because of God's grace, as explained earlier in the book of Romans. So God be thanked. Be thankful for this, that ye were the servants of sin. So here he's giving us in the rest of verse 17 what we're supposed to be thankful for. So thank God. God deserves thanks that, or because you used to be the servants of sin, although this was the case, now you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. So in the past, this is what you were. You were continuing in this state, but now you are no longer. And this is something to be thankful for. So what were you in the past? You were the servants of sin. You were sin's servants. You were sin's slaves. And this affected all of who you are as a person. It affected your mind. Either you thought the Bible wasn't true, or if it was true, certainly you didn't need to pay it a lot of attention. It wasn't that interesting. Maybe you believed that instead of God making you, you were a slime that got up and started walking around after billions of years. Sin affected your mind. Now, sin affected your will. You didn't have the ability to stop sinning. Maybe there were some sins that were more attractive to you than other sins, but you didn't have the ability to stop sinning. And also, sin affected your affections, your desires. You didn't really want to be free from sin. Maybe you didn't like some of the consequences of sin, but sin itself was something that you had desires for. Versus righteousness and holiness were something that you had, something within you that you didn't like. Righteousness and holiness were not appealing to you. They were not in your affections. So sin affected who you were. And this slavery of sin wasn't a physical thing, but it was a spiritual thing. And you were not able to free yourself, both because Satan wasn't going to let you go and he was more powerful than you were, and because you didn't want to be free, because sin had your will. So God was saying, whosoever will may come, and you were saying, I don't want to come because I enjoy the slavery of sin. Or at least, maybe I don't like the consequences, but that is where I want to be, because sin was affecting your whole being. But then he says in verse 17, this is what you were, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So, but, even though this is what you were, by the grace of God, for which you ought to be thankful, from your whole inner being, you have responded to the gospel. You have obeyed God from the heart. You didn't just mentally consent to certain facts, but with a whole heart, you entrusted yourself to Christ as Lord and Savior. And this says here in verse 17, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. It was delivered to you by God through the word, probably through faithful people preaching it to you. And you obeyed it at the moment that you were born again. You believed the gospel. You obeyed the command to believe the gospel in verse 17. You obeyed that from the heart. And as a result, you became somebody who characteristically obeys. You now have obedience unto righteousness, in the words of verse 16. So now you are no longer under sin slavery, but now you are freed from that, and you are now under the control of God, as explained in verse 18. And what is, by the way, in verse 17, this form of doctrine to which you obeyed? It's basically what Paul explains earlier in Romans. It's that you were justified by, you saw yourself as sinful. You saw yourself as somebody who deserved damnation in hell. You saw the sufficiency of the work of Christ to deliver you. You saw your need to turn from your sins and trust in Christ. In the words of something like Romans 3:28, you saw your need to be justified by faith without the deeds of the law, and from your whole heart you received that truth of the gospel. And so verse 18 says, being then made free from sin. So at that moment when you received the gospel, you became free from sin, free from its domination in your mind, free from its domination in your will, free from its dominations in your affections, free from the death that it was bringing to you and its consequence. Instead, now you became free to serve God and to have life, spiritual and eternal life, as God's gift, in the words of verse 23. So now your mind likes what Scripture says. You know the Bible is true because you know its divine author. Now your will is toward God. Now you like righteousness and holiness because God has made you new. Now your affections are for God instead of being against God, because God has changed your mind and your will and your affections. You have a different view of God. God is now your Father, somebody who's desirable. He's not a killjoy who's out to make you miserable. You have a different view of Christ and his crucifixion. Instead of that being something that is just, you know, whatever, it's kind of nice. Now you love Christ and you love what Christ stood for when he died in your place on the cross. Your view of the gospel has changed. Now you love the gospel. You love the fact that you're not rebellious against the fact that you deserve damnation, but you're amazed that God in his grace would save you from your sin. So you're thanking God for it in the words of verse 17. And what now you're God's servant in verse 18. God made you free from sin, and thank God that's a permanent condition that God puts you in. Just like when you were sin slave, Satan was stronger than you and you didn't want to get out. Now that you're God's servant, God is stronger than you are, and when you sin, he'll chastise you, but you also don't want to get out. You don't want to go back to being sin slave anymore, because God has given you a mind that makes you see the problems with that. I will point out that there's no such thing as a person who is neither sin slave or God slave. You're somebody's slave. This is a world that God made, and you're dependent upon someone. And so, but sin is a very unpleasant master, and God is a fantastic master to have in charge of you. Have you become God's servant or God's slave by being born again? Have you recognized that you want God to be in charge of you? You want him to be your master. You don't want to run your life your own way anymore. But now you want Jesus to be in charge of you. You want to be his servant and have righteousness as your goal by the grace of God. If you haven't obeyed from the heart this gospel, maybe you're here because, you know, your family wanted you to be here, but you haven't received the gospel. Today is the day for you to turn from sin slavery and receive the gospel and become God's servant by repentant faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God has freed you from your sin and made you into his servant, do you thank God for this in the words of verse 17? Are you thankful for the gospel and for being delivered from the power of your sin? Or is it something that maybe you've let the cares of this world and the affections for other things make it so that isn't that big of a deal for you anymore? It needs to be a big deal. The Bible says to be thankful for that. It's incredibly good. It's incredibly wonderful to be delivered from the power and penalty of your sin. And if you haven't had that take place in your life today, you need to obey the gospel from your heart. And if you have, be thankful for it. In the words of verse 17, let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the amazing truth in this passage. Thank you that even though the wages of our sin was death, that you would give us salvation as a gift if we believe from our hearts and trust ourselves to Christ. Lord, we're thankful that you freed us, those that are here that are born again, from the slavery of sin and have made us into your servants, had the best service that is possible. I pray that you would help people that are here that have not had that take place in their lives, that you'd convict them of their sin and that they would see their need for the Lord Jesus to be their master instead of sin and Satan being their master. And Lord, for those of us who have been born again, let us be very thankful for this, even as you commanded us in this passage. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.